Well, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing okay? Good, good, good. Good to be here. Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. Good to see everybody. And good to have our dear brother with us tonight that comes in ever so often. Good to have you, brother. Good to have you joining in with all the fun tonight. And boy, it's been a pretty day today, hasn't it? Real pretty day. Springtime, I think, is pretty much sprung. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyway, it's been a good day today, and we were at Grace this morning. We were speaking at chapel, and then we were asked to do the second chapel service. First time I did two chapel services back to back, and it was a good time. They you know, they're now out of the church over there, and so they're in a classroom, and so a little classroom with about 50 high schoolers. That's a pretty filled up classroom. And then so we did that one, and then the middle schoolers came in, about 50 of them. And so we had a good time. We had a good time, and had a couple meetings today. So had a couple good meetings, but it's been a very, very, very good day, busy day. And so it's just good to be here this evening. I do have some things I want to mention tonight before we pray, as we normally do. Let me just say right off the bat, we've got Jubilee flyers. And do we? Oh, I've got a Jubilee flyer. Okay. I'm very special. Hey, I got mine in plastic too. There you go. Water, coffee, Mountain Dew, whatever. Tea. But anyway, Jubilee is right around the corner. Literally, it is coming fast. Let me just go ahead and read off who we have, what the week's going to look like. Jubilee is Sunday, March the 2nd, through Thursday, March the 6th. And 10:30 on Sunday morning, we will have Second Coming Singing, Calvary Jubilee Choir, and Brother Reverend Snyder Turner preaching for us. And then that night at 5 o'clock, we'll have, of course, Second Coming will be with us the whole day. And our choir, Sammy Burgess, preaching Monday night at 7 o'clock. We're going to have Carl Partain family singing, and Brother Carl will be doing the preaching. Of course, Calvary's choir singing as well. Tuesday night, we got something special for Tuesday night in the singing department. We've got Brother Corey Pearson going to be with us. Corey Pearson, as many of you know, sang with his family, the Diplomats, for all those years. And Brother Jimmy went home to be with the Lord unexpectedly. I guess it's been about 3 years ago now, something like that. And I talked to Brother Corey today, and he's going to come. It's going to be like old times and like a homecoming kind of deal. And I think that him and Brother Allen, may they're going to get together and maybe our choir and do some old-time songs that we used to do. So looking forward to that. And, of course, Brother David Smith will be preaching, and our choir continuing to sing all week long. Wednesday is going to be another special Jubilee service. It's more, it's becoming to be more of a youth Jubilee service. We have Pine Valley Baptist Church Youth Choir coming on that Wednesday. And they got a pretty awesome youth choir. And Craig Edwards will be here, our choir, again, singing. Thursday, it's going to be Deborah Perry and Jaden's Call. This is the group that Dakota used to sing with, Dakota Lee. He took some time off, and now he's back with them. And so Deborah Perry and Jaden's Call will be with us to close out the meeting on that Thursday. And Brother Mark Stroud from Wahoo Baptist Church will be preaching. And I love Brother Mark. And, of course, Junior Jubilee downstairs each night. Brother Brian is so gracious to do that again. And we'll have nursery workers all week long. And we have a list of our food menu for Calvary members and the preachers. And sign-up sheets. Is that what that is, Lee Ellen?
If you're going to eat, and the other one is to bring desserts.
Okay. If you're going to eat, please sign up. And then the other one's for desserts. So just remember that. Okay. Right. That's right. The meal's going to be catered each night, Monday through Thursday. And we just need desserts. So appreciate all those who are want to help out with that. Just remember to fill that out. All right. So we have some folks to mention tonight. Please remember Alan Clayton. He is sick at home, not at work, I don't believe, today. He doesn't have the flu. He doesn't have COVID. But Miss Terry and Brother Alan himself has said that he hasn't been sick like this in a long time. So it kind of came on suddenly. There's a lot of things going around with sickness. So just remember him. Remember Miss Terry as well, that she won't get sick. I'm not sure if she's sick yet or not. I hope she's not. And I hope she don't get sick. But please remember Brother Alan in your prayers. And, of course, continue to remember Brother Gary Pace and the homegoing of Miss Pam Pace. And remember the boys at the home in days ahead. That was their grandmother, the Byron boys. Continue to remember, again, our friend Gene that's been visiting with us on Sundays. And his wife, Sharon, that went home to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. And he says this feels like his church home. He was what he said the other day. And just everybody loving on him, his daughter, and all of that. That's just a wonderful testimony of the kind of church that we are, just loving on people. But please remember him in your prayers. And, of course, we've had some come in with CJ and Amanda on Sundays. I believe two Sundays in a row now, and the young people, the oldest of the siblings, told me, Brother Randy was standing there. She says she loves this church, she loves the church, she loves the preaching, loves the singing. That's amazing. That is so good to hear. And so we've had some visiting with us, and that's really really good. Just pray the Lord continue to move on hearts and bring them in as we bring the word out in outreach this year. Dawn Daly with her urinary tract infection, Bonnie Carmichael, and Jim, let's remember them in prayer. Our children's home staff and all of our young people, continue to remember Miss Lucille Turner and in your prayers as she tries to get better. Any word on Miss Lucille? She's still in Dallas. Okay. Last Friday, okay. Just remember her, please. Brother Harold, Miss Nancy Farmer, BJ, let's remember her, BJ Williams. Let's see, Jim Jr. and his foot surgery is coming up soon on the 20th of March. Leonard, Dolores Palmer, and their health situations. Spoke with my grandmother yesterday, and I thought she had a fall. Her back just started to hurt, you know. My grandmother, she drove a school bus for nearly 50 years pulling. That was back when they had the old handles. I don't know if them school buses were that way now. Probably it's a button you press, but she would pull those handles, and I told her, I said, all them years moving and bending and, you know, climbing into that school bus and pulling on that handle. So, but she's using a cane right now, and they're having some car trouble too. So that's why they haven't been here, but they really want to be here. So Lord willing, they should have their car fixed soon, and they'll be back with us. So just remember them if you would. Miss Claudia, Don and Carla Rich, Connie Norton, Jimmy and Jenny Clinton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, Jamie Carden, and I have a special unspoken tonight prayer request. I mentioned something briefly about it Sunday night when I was beginning my sermon about a family member, and so if you would, just remember that. Does anybody have any other unspokens tonight? Anything in your heart you just don't want to share it, but you want to raise your hand? We'll remember all those, and we'll go ahead and open up the floor. Hassan, go ahead. Go ahead, buddy. Yeah. Okay. Let's remember this. Anybody else tonight? Jeff?
Yeah, my good friend, Denver.
Yes. Denver Edwards, Brother Jeff's friend, needs our prayers tonight. And the same for Hassan's mother. I'm trying to be mindful of repeating these prayer requests back, because people online and Facebook, they can't hear them. They just hear me saying, yes, okay, yes, okay. So Hassan had a prayer request, Jeff did, Miss Marianne, Sandy. Okay. Yes, yes. Oh, gracious. Okay. So, let's remember this. Miss Marianne just mentioned about her friends from Florida whose daughter has bladder cancer. Okay, so, wow. We will certainly remember this. Thank you for mentioning that. Anybody else tonight? Mary Kay? Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Mary Kelly mentions all the families whose loved ones passed in a plane crash. There was no survivors. Is that right, Ceylon? No survivors. That is terrible. Terrible. On either side. So thank you for mentioning that. That was okay. Well, that's good. If there's anything good about it, I guess that would be it. Anybody? Ceylon? People in California, we talk about the fires in North Carolina, the same thing. Yeah. So folks over in California and North Carolina, Brother Ceylon brings up a prayer request for them. Let's certainly remember them in prayer. Anybody else? Yep. Absolutely. Remember our country tonight. Miss Yvonne asked for that prayer request. Anyone else? Does that help everybody hear that I repeat these prayer requests? Oh, it's good? You like that? Okay. All right. Okay. So it helps everybody here and there on Facebook. Okay. Anybody else? We're in no hurry tonight. Hey, it's Wednesday night prayer meeting. All right. Well, again, we are in the month of February. And we are making our way to the second Sunday in February. This coming up Sunday, and then we have two more Sundays, and so just a lot going on. Do remember, this coming up Sunday, after the AM service, will be the Valentine's Luncheon for Widows and Widowers, all right? And so that is immediately following the morning service. So we want to serve you. Is what we want to do. And you know, it being the month of love, what better time to do so? The month of February. And so please make plans on staying, and that will be a great time for you. And let's see, I believe, is it this Thursday coming up? Is the ladies,
No.
Next Thursday. That's right. This is February. I'm getting messed up on that. You're right, it's the day before Valentine's Day. So remember that, ladies, the CBC Ladies Prayer Brunch will be next Thursday. Valentine's Day Eve on the 13th. And so remember that. That'll be a good time. And be able to fellowship with one another and get something to eat at the same time, and a little devotion, some time of prayer. Be a great time. All right. Well, anything else to mention before we pray? Okay. Again, it's been good to be here so far tonight, and looking forward to the remaining part of the service. If you would, join us for a time of prayer together down here at the altar, or you can stay right where you're at, however you prefer.
Okay, we're gonna everybody stand up, and we're gonna do "When the Morning Comes." Sing nice and loud. Sing to the top of your voice so we can hear it a little better on the Facebook. Hear y'all more than you hear me, hopefully. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the way that God would lead us to that happy promised land. We will earth with His eye, and we'll blow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how it overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Temptation, hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for the blasphemed word of God, for same faultless word or deed. And we'll wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how it overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
When the morning comes, what a blessing. I'm looking forward to that heavenly sunrise, aren't you? And what a blessing. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that song tonight. And we're going to be in the book of, we're actually going to refer to this book here in just a little while, but you can go ahead and make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. Again, it's going to be just a few moments from now, a few minutes before we actually get to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. But while you're turning there, I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll introduce the subject tonight. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for making us able to continue on. And when our strength seems small, God, you have a way of endowing us with power, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. I pray that you would touch every person here tonight in a very special way. I pray that we would be simple in our teaching. And I pray that someone would be helped and encouraged tonight. Thank you for those watching on Facebook, those listening online. We'll just go ahead and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you on a specific subject, and that is coping with change. Coping with change. The definition of coping is this right here. It means to deal with and attempt to overcome. Am I the only one that struggles with change? I believe we all do. In some kind of measure, we are uncomfortable with change. Some areas we may be okay with change in. You know, change the garbage. Yeah, Jeff's pointing at his cell phone. Change the garbage. You know, simple, easy things, but there's just something about change that is difficult. You know, we are creatures of habit, aren't we? We like our comfort zones. We like our places of security. Well, change is a part of life. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Some change is good, but some change is not so good, not so desirable. And so whenever we are faced with change, we'll do one of two things. We will either resist change or we will adjust to change. We will either run from it or we'll run to it. And so, again, most people don't like change. We struggle with change, but we get accustomed to people and routines, don't we? Which makes it hard to change when we get accustomed to those things. There are comfort zones within routines and things we're used to. Therefore, we don't like to change. And again, I struggle with change myself. Lately, I've been hearing about people who have been placed in positions where they have no options. They must adjust to change. And that is a very stressful place to be when there is no other option. You just have got to be bendable. You've got to be pliable. It's hard change is. Tonight, I want to bring just a very simple lesson about coping with change, and I want to mention three things, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you as this world is ever changing. Number one, we shared the definition of coping, but what about the definition of change? What does that mean? Well, Webster's dictionary says that the word change, it means to undergo transformation or to undergo transition. As winter changes into spring, spring changes to summer, summer to fall, and fall to winter. Repeat, the four seasons of change. And so it's a time of transition within nature. It's a time of transformation within nature. I love the transformation talk, that of a caterpillar. I've said it many times, but I love the transformation of a caterpillar into the butterfly. It's called metamorphosis, and it's the stages of being a caterpillar, or really even a larvae before that, and then going to a caterpillar, cocoon, butterfly. And so there's the, when it goes from a larvae, then there's the caterpillar. And when it's a caterpillar, it's crawling along, and it has limited ability as a caterpillar. But then there's the cocoon stage, and this is when it's caged. It has no ability other than being in fight mode. Have you ever been at that stage in your life before where it seems dark, it seems like you're spinning your wheels, maybe even trapped in circumstances, and all you're doing is fighting? You're in fight mode. Well, the caterpillar is now a cocoon. But then the caterpillar goes from cocoon to butterfly. It goes from crawling to cage to flying. And this is its amazing ability to surpass its obstacles and fly above that which they were caged up in on the ground. And that's a lot like our lives when it comes to change. I believe that the Lord is literally taking us in our limited ability, and He is putting us in positions where we have to face obstacles, to fight, to achieve, and then we realize that we're able to fly spiritually, being dependent upon Him. And so the definition of change, it has to do with transformation or to undergo transition. The Bible says that believers are changed as we look into God's Word from glory to glory. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians here, chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we could just stand back and look on just the surface and look at that word change, and we immediately know that God is in the transformation business. He is in the transition business, and this verse tells us that He does it by the Spirit of God that's within us. Now, if we take just a quick look at this verse tonight, He says, "But we all, with open face," with open face, meaning no obscurity, no veil. You go back and you read this chapter, it talks about Moses coming down the mountain with the veil. But here He says, "But we all, with open face," no obscurity, no veil, "beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," or the splendor of the Lord, "are changed into the same image," that is the image of the Lord, "from glory to glory." Or that the words, the phrase "from glory to glory," from, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Or we're changed from one degree of maturity to another degree of maturity. One writer said it this way: "The more we behold from the pages of God's Word," which is the mirror of His Word, "the more we behold, then the more we reflect." You remember when Moses came down from the mountain meeting with the Lord, and his face did shine, and he had a veil on his face. Well, Old Testament versus New Testament, now there is no veil. We can behold the glory of the Lord each and every day right here in the pages of His Word. And the more that we spend time in His Word, the more that we spend time yielding to Jesus in the person that He is. He is a sinless, spotless one. He's holy. He's pure. He demands holiness and purity. Like Peter says, he mentions over there in one of the epistles that we ought to not sin. We ought to sin not. And we ought to be pure and be holy as He's holy. And so when we spend time with God in prayer, we spend time in His book beholding His glory, then we will reflect His glory. We will reflect Jesus. And as this is happening, it's an entire operation happening. The Holy Spirit within us is allowing us to understand God's Word. It's being illuminated to us. We are surrendering to God's Word, and we are being changed. You know, it's not always easy when we open the Bible and read. And if you're like me, I go, uh-oh. Okay, Lord. And, you know, we come to church, and I can remember first starting out at Floyd Road and coming, and Brother Berman to get up and preach. And I thought he was reading my mail. I thought he was talking to Christy. I mean, every service he was preaching right to me, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the truth from God's Word. God was wanting to take me from A to B to C, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from experience to experience, from one degree to the next. And so we wrestle at times with this idea of change. And we see that the gospel reflects God's glory. And the more that we behold it and look into the perfect law of liberty and we surrender to it, the more we reflect Jesus. Now, sometimes when you come in contact with people and, you know, they may, I don't know, you know, anything can happen. They can be snappy. They can be mean or rude or cruel. And so you might think the first thing off the top of your head, why are they being so mean? Because truly, if they were in God's Word, it would reflect through their attitude. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect or we don't ever get upset or this and that, but I'm talking about some people that just never change. Could it be? I'm talking about so-called Christians. Could it be because they're never in God's Word or not as much as they should? They don't reflect His radiance? So tonight we see the definition of change. The Lord is wanting to transition us from maturity to maturity, from level to level, degree to degree, undergo a relationship with Him and grow deeper and deeper and reflect His radiance. The definition of change. Now, let me mention something else. The different kinds of change. I'm transitioning over into a little more day-to-day part of my lesson here. The different kinds of change. God uses all kinds of circumstances and situations to usher in change or the opportunity to change things in our life. We know He uses the Word of God, the mirror, to change us. We know He uses the Spirit of God, it says so in this verse, to change us. But also God uses what I like to call the good, the bad, and the ugly to administer change. For example, there's the good we encounter that God changes us. Don't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so there's a good change that occurs at salvation. Number one, our destiny changes. We are no longer hell-bound, but we're heaven-bound. Our position changes. We are no longer children of the devil, that it says in one place, but we are now children of God. One person said one time, we're all children of God. And I love going back to that and saying, no, we're not. We are all creations of God. But you become a child of God when you accept the Son as your personal Lord and Savior. Then you are a child. And so that's good. That's good. But then there's the changed life aspect. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so there's a good part of change. But then number two, there's the bad that we encounter that can administer change in our life. I remember this book. I'm pretty sure you remember it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, the children's book, written by Judith Viorst, 1972. This book sold 4 million copies. Listen to one of the paragraphs in this book. It says, I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell you it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But you know, as a child of God, even when we have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, even God can work in those days. He can even work. Even during the bad we encounter, if we adjust, if we attempt to overcome, if we cope the right way and allow transition to take place, even during the bad we encounter, if we adjust to it and keep a good attitude, good can come from it and we can mature and change. So there's the good. There's the bad, talking about different kinds of changes, but then there's the ugly. There's the ugly side of life. And which is the loss of a loved one and having to adjust to change to the new normal. There's the loss of a job, a house, automobile. There's a bad report from the doctor. There's having a divided family. So I call these things the ugly things in life. But even then, if we depend upon God, moment by moment, we will see Him work mightily and change us greatly. And so there's the good, the bad, there's the ugly. And these are different kinds of change that comes into our life. I want to mention a third thing. Tonight, I was through early last Wednesday. I may be through early tonight, but that's okay. The dealings with change. How do we cope with change? How do we attempt to overcome? How do we adjust to the transition? Just a few things I want to share with you about this. How do we deal with this change or these changes of life when challenges, when they come? What are we to do? Well, we are to, first and foremost, go to God's Word. What else are we going to do? Go to God's Word. Now, Philippians 4, verse number 6 and 7, go ahead and turn there. We got time. Go ahead and turn there. I ain't going to shortchange us. Go to Philippians 4, if I can find it. There it is. Philippians 4, verse number 6 and 7. Dealing with change. Go to God's Word. He says this, some of my favorite verses, Philippians 4, in verse number 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We know the word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but replace. Brother Celon, I think you said something Sunday night maybe in your testimony about replacing things. God replacing. If we're not going to be anxious, then we need to replace it with something. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, about a year ago, I started concluding much of my praying with thanksgiving in my heart. I do that because it's just a reminder. It centers me when I pray to just be thankful. So he says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, this peace is so sweet that you can't understand it. I remember, you know, sometimes I'm a complex creature, I'll label myself, because sometimes I worry, and then when I'm not worrying, I worry because I'm not worrying. Come on now, Justin, you got to be better than that. You know, God will give me some, I'll pray and give something to Him, and, you know, and this peace that passes my understanding, I'm thinking, why do I feel good? This is strange that I feel good. Is anybody else? I mean, are you anybody else in here overthinkers? I mean, I'm guilty of that. I overthink, and so the older I get spiritually, I just know that it's God's peace, and I don't need an explanation. I don't need to figure it out. It's just thank you, Jesus, for the peace of God. And but we know that we're to deal with change this away, because change can bring anxiety. Change can bring fear, and change can bring these things. So we're to substitute the anxiety and fear with prayer and thanksgiving. And the Bible says He will give us His peace, which passes all understanding. All right. Turn over to Psalm 138, if you would. The dealings with change. Psalm 138, verse 8. Psalm 138, verse number 8. Let's see, 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord will perfect. He will perfect. Is there an area in your life tonight that needs some attention? You may need some direction in. You may need some leadership in from God. There may be some broken areas. There may be some confusing areas. There may be some areas that are concerning to you. And the Bible tells us before we have a mental breakdown, just trust in Him. The Lord will perfect. He will conclude. He will connect the dots, if you will. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, or is concerning to me, or involves me. Anything in my life, I'm God's child, and so therefore, I am a case for Him. I am His child. Because I have a problem, it's His problem. And so we see that the Lord will perfect that which is concerning to me or concerns me. God will take care of His children, all of us. Those that are saved, if there's something concerning to you, if there's something that concerns you, you are His responsibility, and all we're called to do when it comes to coping with change is to know that God is in control. Again, easier preached than lived, I know. Easier preached than lived. Don't turn there. I'll give it to you. I love Job 13:15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Now, that word slay, just thinking about the word slay is not comforting. It's disturbing. Though He slay me, though my day is filled with adversity and anxiety, and there's trouble brewing all around, and waves, so to speak, are crashing over me, though He slay me, meaning Job knew that God was in control, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so we know Job lost it all, but yet he says, I will trust in him. He says, I will maintain mine own ways before him. And so Job says, I'm going to focus on my spiritual walk while God focuses on me. And I believe at the end of the day, that's what the Lord wants out of us. You know, he wants us to focus on the Great Commission, spreading the gospel, sharing Jesus, being a witness, fulfilling our purpose. He wants us to focus on that. And in return, we focus on that. We let him focus on whatever it is that we're going through. The devil would love for us to focus on the adversity. The devil would love for us to focus on the winds of change and be rocked to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what the devil wants, so that we won't focus on the main thing, that is being his witness. So he tells us tonight, Job says, though he slay me, I've lost my finances, I've lost my family, my health, all of that. I am slain, but yet I will trust in him and I will maintain mine own ways before him. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1, I knew we'd get to that. I had to resend my backdrop to Randy. I had Ecclesiastes on the bottom, and I didn't want it there, and I removed it, sent it back, and I thought I'd end up here anyway, and I did. Oh, me. But you know the verse in Ecclesiastes 3:1. It talks about the different seasons of life and how there's a purpose for every season. Deuteronomy 31:6 says to be strong, God is with you. And then lastly tonight, 2 Peter 2:9, or second to last, 2 Peter 2:9 says that God is patient with us. How about that? Then, of course, a couple of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your steps, direct your paths. The key word there is all, isn't it? All. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Tonight, that's the lesson, coping with change. The definition of change, the different kinds of change, and the dealings with change. So I hope it was a help in some way, some measure to you tonight here on this Wednesday night. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. That's all I've got. I pray that you would just take your word and apply it to all of our hearts, Holy Spirit. Just a simple message tonight about change. And Father, I pray that you'll get us home safely. Help us prepare for church on Sunday. But between now and then, Lord, let us be ready to witness to others about you. Let us be ready to invite someone to church so that your house could be full, Lord. Do something mighty and great this coming up Lord's Day. Save the lost and bless the saved would be my prayer. And again, Lord, we pray for all of these on our prayer list. Oh, God, you know who needs what. We pray a special prayer over Brother Allen, Sister Terry, that you meet with them and just be with them and touch them so that they could get better. Touch Brother Allen, oh, Lord, the one we know for sure that is sick, that you would touch him in a mighty way. Be with them all. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. All right, anything to mention? Anything else to mention? Well, thank you for being here tonight. Hope everybody has a good evening, and be safe, and you are dismissed.